And thank you, Alex, for another fine community calendar here on KPTZ in Port Townsend. It's time for Brewocracy Now, our weekly chat with John Morrow, Port Townsend City Manager. And there are a number of ways that you can join in this. You can go to the KPTZ website. And if you look on the second page of our website, it has a link there where you can join on the Zoom meeting. You can give me a call at 360-215-7270, or you can email your questions to me at tim@kptz.org. So either way, join in the conversation. And I see John there. John, I'm assuming you can hear me. I know you can hear the broadcast because this is such a departure to be able to see your face. Radio doesn't quite work that way. And I think we both kind of lit up at the corn on the cob piece from Charlie, right?
Yes, absolutely. Nothing says emergency preparedness like free organic corn on the cob.
I'm with you, man. I look forward to it every year. So we'll start off with corn and we'll go any direction that you would like, what you would like the listening audience to know about the goings-on here in Port Townsend, Washington.
Well, thanks, Tim. It's always a pleasure, and I greatly look forward to this part of my week. And I was thinking a little bit about what would be of interest to those listening, and it's really hard to know, so I think the best thing is to just jump in on the call, give Tim a call, flick him an email, and ask something so we can take any direction you'd like. But, you know, I was looking at my calendar, and I just thought, the other day I was trying to explain to my daughter, who's five, but you know, she's pretty switched on, what a city manager does, you know, and she could explain to people the difference between the water treatment plant and the wastewater treatment plant. She knows some of the team, she knows some of the process. And I just thought, gosh, you know, when I come home and she says, how's your day? And what'd you do? I kind of thought, yeah, it's a little bit of a mystery perhaps for some. So I thought, like, you know, taking inspiration from the calendar we just listened to, I might just go back and report out what have I done in the last, you know, week or so that might be of note. And to me, it's exciting because it shows such a diversity of fun things I get to do. You know, I won't sugarcoat. It's also very difficult. But, you know, looking back over the last week, I guess till last Thursday, since we last talked, you know, that was the beginning of, you know, that was midday. And I had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 other meetings that afternoon on Thursday, mainly talking with my team, but also with the county administrator, you know, and that's kind of how my days go. I had the pleasure on Friday evening of spending 4.5 hours from 8 till a little past midnight with officer and the police team doing a ride along. So that colored the week in a really interesting light because I got to see firsthand the challenges they face and how they respond on a typical Friday night in Port Townsend. Got up early Saturday and went to the farmers market where we launched our Engage PT campaign. Standing alongside our city engineer, our public works director, our city attorney, and a number of people who came up to the farmers market with awesome questions, really interesting insights. And I would encourage you both to come join us again, because we'll be there again from 9 to 1 o'clock this Saturday at the farmers market in Port Townsend, uptown, and hopefully many more. I think I got a break on Sunday, although I catch up on emails then. But, you know, look, Monday we had a city council special meeting where we discussed a number of things. You know, I get to catch up with my leadership team several times a week. I tuned in to KPTZ for the public health officer update that morning. You know, we had I had a nice walk with the county administrator and the port executive director the next day. You know, I get to run through the agenda of, you know, and some key issues with the mayor and deputy mayor, get to be part of that policy management group with the Emergency Operations Center, and so on. And I guess last evening I got to see a new officer being sworn in right outside the Cotton Building with some of her family there. So, you know, there's a lot more. I'm like kind of looking at the Tetris map that is my calendar, but, you know, I get to do a tremendous number of very interesting and also slightly difficult things every week. You know, I've missed so many things in there. I get to talk with city managers from across the peninsula, which I did yesterday, and all sorts of, I actually do real work. I actually send emails and read documents and sign things and think about strategy. But I just want to give those listening a bit of a sense of what a general week looks like sitting in my chair.
Well, I think you said slightly difficult. I would call it difficult. you know, from my perspective, I do have a caller, and let's see if this works, yeah. John. This is great. Hello. Are you there? No, they are gone. And just to put this out, folks, when you call me on the phone at 360-215-7270, it may take me a while to get to you because you will be directly on the air when I bring you up. So hang on that phone line and your question will get through. And so caller, you can try that again, giving me a call back at that number. So yeah, you know, technology, it's a blessing and a curse. It's easier to be at the farmer's market, I would imagine, with the people that really are making this city work.
Tim, can you imagine? I mean, KPTZ has been so agile and so pushed to try totally new things, and you know, hence this and people calling in and you manning both a phone, a Zoom call, a live mic, and probably a whole host of other things I don't even know. So I don't know how you do it. It's pretty impressive. But can you imagine doing a live broadcast from the farmers market someday when we're not doing the safe physical distancing? I mean, how crazy would that be?
Oh, wouldn't that be fun? You know, and here at KPTZ, we have a number of live broadcasts under our belt, and we have some really great people that do all kinds of magical things with our live broadcasts. Bill Putney, Mike Carroll come to mind first. Yeah, and it is magic, but it's not out of the question. We have been out in the community, and it's such a departure from being in our little box. That caller is here again, so let's try this again, okay?
Hey, caller.
Hi.
Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, third time's the charm, I guess.
It is.
First time I was listening to you guys. Second time it switched me to the you know, the recording that says you reached KPDZ. I have what's probably one of the simplest questions, oof, which is, where are you at the farmer's market? Because I did not see you. So I probably have some more profound questions, but that's what I have right now.
No, I mean, where are we and who are we and all that? I mean,
no,
that's
no,
pretty
no, no, not who
that's
are you,
existential.
Just where?
Well, where are we? I'm not quite sure if it changes every week because we've only done one, but I was encouraged that there were so many booths there. But if you walk through the hand washing station and make a left down the corridor toward the community center, we are right there. And we didn't have
it. Where they put the food booth, the prepared food booth.
That's got right, it. And we didn't have a canopy because we didn't want to block the view of our neighbors there.
I will look harder for you, knowing that you really do exist.
We do exist, and I believe, I don't think he'll be shy for me saying this, but I believe our interim police chief, Troy Serber, will be there at the booth this Saturday, as will our finance and administrative services director, Nora Mitchell. So, you know, it'll be fun talking with them.
Great, great, great.
Well,
thanks for the call.
Thank you, Laura.
The more communication, the better.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more.
Absolutely.
Truly.
Thanks.
Direct democracy here in Port Townsend. Where do you get the chance to talk to the city manager, finance director, police chief? This is all good stuff, John Morrow. Thank you very much. Mm. And I do have a question that I received via email, and I'll just read this to you verbatim.
Okay.
And here is the question. What's up with Katai Park? It's a city-owned park. It has potential to be a great place to walk and enjoy. My question is, why hasn't the city taken an interest in it? Bathrooms are closed. It's littered with alcohol bottles, animal and human waste, and homeless camps. Crime seems to be an issue from time to time as well. This particular listener did send an addendum saying, despite everything. He loves Port Townsend. So I'll leave it at that and throw that one to you.
Yeah, I like the tough ones after the where are you located. Yeah. So look, I'm still coming up to speed with the history of the park, its change of stewards, its cultural history, natural history, the city's history there. So I can't pretend to know the full story, but I do know, as an enjoyer of Katai Park and someone who walked there, did a walking meeting there last week with the GM of the food co-op, that it's there's some good, bad, and ugly, you know, and as some who've part of the local Audubon chapter helped me understand, there's well over 100 species of birds in there and all sorts of great natural treasures, but it's also unmistakable that it does tend to be a place where folks tend to rough sleep, camp, and there's also associated crime there. And I think the question's a really nicely direct one. I would say that it's not that the city doesn't have an interest there. We're really finding a challenge in balancing competing uses of that public space. We want to provide amenities, but that requires investment, that requires a community who supports that investment. I guess I'm hearing and can pass this on to our parks team that maybe we could do better there. I would say my guess is that the questioner was part of the PROS plan process, which really gathered, community-wide input on what we think our parks, recreation, and open space should look like in Port Townsend in the coming years. And I will commit to the caller to go, or to the questioner to go back to that PROS plan and look for specific comments about Katai to help understand it better. Other than that, look, I mean, it's still very much a public place. It's an open space. It's a natural area. It's got its challenges. I know our police team works there often. It is unfortunately a place where there's occasional, vandalism, but, I would encourage the community to embrace it and love it and, help us understand how we can get it better.
Well, I'm really interested in your opening statement about the convoluted history of the park. And I remember when the plan was to put an aquatic center there and the research that went into the history and the ownership of Katai. And I just envisioned, these flowery handwriting signatures by gentlemen in stovepipe hats. And this goes way back. And it does take a bit of unraveling understand that particular spot in this city. Either way, it is a treasure.
Yeah, I mean, I think from what I remember, I think it was maybe about a decade ago or 2013, it entirely belongs now to the city. It's a passive park, so it's really focused on wildlife habitat, and hence some of the off-leash dog use is really kind of incompatible with that. So I did mention the Audubon group. I think they've documented dozens at least of species. I'd like to say just barely over 100 or maybe more, actually maybe 150 documented there. And it was a tidally flushed lagoon or estuary until 1930. We built Sims Way across the mouth of the lagoon, and then of course in the 60s, I think it was the Port of Port Townsend expanded Boat Haven, and the Army Corps of Engineers came in, and when they do things, they really do things. It's not subtle. We didn't really know at that time in history. This is before I was born, I will admit, in 1963. We have a huge value of estuaries, and we didn't really know that's that was, I think, right before some of Nixon's 1964 legislation, like the Endangered Species Act, and setting up new federal structure. Now we realize, gosh, that was a lot of ecological value. The transfer of all that sand and mud really closed off a lagoon and decreased it by a half, and really altered it quite a bit. So, it's got a very interesting ecological history. It's got an interesting ownership history. And I would like to think with anything historical, it also includes what we decide to do from this moment on, and so we're writing the future history as we make decisions about the park's use.
Well, John, well, actually, listeners, if you are wondering what is happening here, this is our weekly chat with John Morrow, Port Townsend City Manager. And I do want, you know, you mentioned, you opened the door, you talked about having a five-year-old. Yeah. I would imagine that 5-year-old will be going to, or is in school. And, you know, I spoke to my daughter who has a 3-year-old and she has had some quality time with the schools closed with this 3-year-old. And yeah. I've forgotten how challenging that is. And I think that it brings to mind, we always respect teachers, but it really brings it into focus on what a job that is. The quote from her was, "I haven't gotten to the ice cream for breakfast point yet, but I'm on the cusp." So I guess that's a long introduction to, is your daughter going back to school today? I mean, this season. We have a new school here, which I'm quite proud of, actually, for this city for building that school. And it seems like we're positioned to do a lot of things that, given our tax structure, there are places that are not as well positioned to open up their school year. They don't have the space. They've been underfunded for many years.
Yeah.
What's it like for you?
Well, I mean, Tim, you had me at ice cream for breakfast, I have to just admit, you know, which I will also admit that I've never done that with my daughter, but I've certainly done that myself.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know if that makes me a better or worse person, but
it just makes you human, man.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Haven't done it for a while. But anyway, just to be clear, too, this is a school district that really, pulled that off. And I was really grateful to have a tour of the building when I first started by the former superintendent, John Palm, and saw the value, so clearly, it's a great new facility. And this school district is going through what must be challenging thinking and decision making as we decide, what is the future going to look like? And meaning the future of like 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now. School has definitely been on my mind as a dad. My wife is an educator, she's a professor, but she's clearly into education, and we're kind of scratching our heads wondering what's the best move here, and what are we going to do locally? What are we going to do nationally? I guess I can say, I was lucky to drop off my daughter by cargo bike this morning to an outdoor school, kind of daycare, because she's only 5. She'll go into kindergarten this year. The move from some schools toward outdoor learning is very interesting to me, and really backed up by Dr. Tom Locke and others as a whole lot safer to be outside. Now, in the winter, that looks a lot different, and in a learning environment, I can't pretend to know how to do that well. So I will trust that those in the school district will make the right decisions, and we'll keep moving forward. But yeah, the intention is we'll be in public school this year, and I'm going to guess that we'll be adjusting as we go, because even if it's a blended learning situation where we've got, not a full-time load of students, if there are cases of COVID-19, then my guess is that requires a quarantine of a class, and then maybe a look again at the whole school, and hopefully, we'll continue to maintain a very, very low caseload and not have those problems. But boy, agility is the name of the game, whether it's city government, school district. I'll also add a little bit too. I mean, not to get too personal here, but my sister is a former elementary school teacher in the great state of Maine, and now a school nurse. And she and I were discussing this very thing last night, because she's also a parent and she's thinking about the school environment. And the same questions across the other side of the country, especially from somebody who's in a school as a health provider, you can imagine my sister was thinking quite fiercely about how to do this well, how to do this safely, and what kids need. And so I don't have any answers here. I'm just kind of musing over you know, the connection into my own personal life, but really have a lot of empathy for the parents right now who don't really know what's precisely going to happen. The school district that's trying to decide as best as they can how to make this work. And I'll say probably less maybe direct influence, but the employers like the city, where we have to think about what kind of agility and flexibility do we need to make sure that our employees who are parents can both do their jobs and keep the city moving and accommodate whatever situations unfolding at home or at school. No easy answers, Tim.
No easy answers. And there's so much uncertainty there. And I think it's always good for us to keep in mind our elected representatives, our school boards, our people like, you know, Tom Locke comes to mind. The pay for what you do is the same regardless of the situation around you. And at these times, folks that are making these decisions for the rest of us in this environment, which is just, you know, totally bewildering, are working hard. It's the same. The job is the same. It's just very much harder. So I think that, you know, we have to be patient with the decision-making process. And I think part of what you're doing on gathering the information from the people here in Port Townsend can go a long way to guiding really good decision making.
Yeah, no, I think that's a fair point, and I don't think anybody needs to feel sorry for me. I mean, but I do think about the really human element of those who are healthcare providers or on the front lines of being an educational provider, where not only or my team, frankly, who are out there delivering either public safety or clean water or safe roads or library books or parks. I mean, all of those groups are trying to decide what's right for an entire organization and town, as well as being personally impacted, And so I think that's what I'm really keeping close to my heart is that the decision makers are also, navigating the human element of this crisis as well. And that's tremendously challenging to kind of isolate your own personal pain and difficulty from making the right call. And I see that happen day in, day out in my team, where they're making lucid decisions and steps forward as they're carrying a whole lot of other stuff related to their personal lives and their own situation in times of crisis. So I've been astonished by people's resolve and, I think it's important to give people just a little bit more leeway, recognizing like, how can you keep all that together, and keep things moving forward as we're, a lot of us are making this, it sounds kind of terrible, but in a lot of ways, making this up as we go. I mean, there's so many new elements to this that we have to be clearly in the moment, understanding, taking information in, considering new angles and directions, and not getting overwhelmed all at the same time. So I have a lot of respect for those who are doing that right now.
And still sleeping at night. That's an important thing. This question came to me just during Charlie Bermant's local news, and this is regarding the Olympic Discovery Trail. And I thought, a person like yourself, who is an avid cyclist, are you looking forward to riding a bike to La Push someday from Port Townsend?
Oh, my gosh. It was one of the first things I did when I moved to Washington in the late 90s, early 2000s, was I got on my bike from Seattle and I rode out to La Push around the peninsula and back to Seattle. And it was such a cool way to understand the Northwest. The other ones, the climb Mount Rainier within 24 hours of arriving into town. And I've always thought, what a treasure. And then I kind of packed that away the last 20 years or so. And here we are actually trying to complete a trail from this place to the West Coast, which is extraordinary. And a lot of it's actually, I forget exactly what percentage, but, I'm going to guess somewhere around 40% is already in construction. It's just sort of piecemeal and bits, bits in between. And I have to say, I've walked the Larry Scott Trail. I've ridden it. That's exactly where my daughter learned how to ride a bicycle without training wheels. And I went for a great run down there this past weekend as well. And, so if that kept extending, what an opportunity to both personally enjoy it, but can you imagine the kinds of excitement and you know, opportunities for visitors to come and, you know, launch their adventure from Port Townsend on two wheels and see a bit of the peninsula and the benefits to Port Townsend and others along the way. So I get really excited about it. I will say that there's been some historic challenges, not just you know, the funding and the fact that the county's proceeding with some of this land and moving the trail forward, which is fantastic. We wrote a very enthusiastic letter of support for that. I just signed this week. Or last week, but also the fact that there's some interesting challenges with the alignment of it, you know, and historically some challenges with our own water line, and, you know, questions that we need to ask, which are, how do we make sure we can proceed with a trail that isn't, you know, super steep and super roundabout, but also make sure that our water line is protected. And I have to say, my team's done a great job making sure that the concerns about our water supply are incorporated as part of that future set of decisions about extending that trail out. And I've got great confidence that they will be, and that we can have both a safe and secure water supply and keep moving on the trail. And that's certainly the city's commitment moving forward.
Well, you know, this just occurred to me as you were speaking that I look forward to driving my van just about maybe a mile shy of La Push, taking my bike out and cycling to La Push, so I can tell everybody I rode my bike to La Push and not be lying, unlike yourself, John Morrow.
It's like when I told somebody when I lived in Seattle that I went skiing, I skied in the Olympics, and they went, oh my gosh, which year?
There's a Hurricane Ridge. Yeah. Who says it can't be fun? But you bring up a good point about the things that happen in the surrounding area. Maybe they're in the county, maybe they're even in a neighboring county that directly affect Port Townsend itself. You spoke about, you know, the trail. We only have a few minutes left, but any thoughts about, and I'm going to put a smorgasbord of issues out there. Port Hadlock sewer system. Mm-hmm. It may be outside of Port Townsend, but we are interrelated, interconnected in this county. So there are implications to Port Townsend in that. Mm-hmm. Closer to home, the Rainier Street project. I'm always been a little baffled about what's going on out there. It seems, you know, it's odd. It's in the beginning stages. What are the future plans for that? And I'll leave it to you to answer however you feel in the next 5 minutes.
Okay. Oh, that's plenty of time. I thought you were going to give me a zinger with 1 minute to go,
No.
It keeps me on my toes. That's why I have an extra cup of coffee. Look, I think you raise a good point, and I'll just start general and say what I've discovered over the past 7 or so months that I've been in this post is that there's this tremendous relatively untapped opportunity for doubling down on collaboration and partnership. And it would be foolish for me to say the city and the county didn't work together, or the port and the city didn't work together, you know, or the PUD or other agencies or the state. I mean, we did. And it's not me and my arrival that's signaling a change to that. It's been ongoing, and the staff get along really well. And in some cases, the staff go from organization to a different organization and bring that learning with them. And that's a great way of connecting ourselves up. I will say that this time of crisis in the leadership styles of my counterparts at those agencies I mentioned has really set the table for a really new a new approach to how we collaborate. And so that's most formalized in this intergovernmental collaborative group that got kicked off a few months ago that's looking at COVID recovery and resilience. But it spans a whole lot of other things. And, you know, other examples I think I've shared on this broadcast are, you know, looking at how to connect the paving of the airport in the port of Port Townsend with the carrier pipe for our water system that goes underneath to make sure that it's future-proofed, you know, and those kinds of agreements are now so easy to work out with our agencies. And not that we don't have disagreements or different perspectives, but, you know, the human touch and the working relationship of me and my counterparts and also the elected officials themselves seems to have taken a pretty massive step forward. So that I believe things like the, you know, the Havelock sewer system, which, you know, there's been historic tensions of that, you know, different opinions. You know, you mentioned Rainier Street and just, I'd say, economic development in general as a region. You know, there's a whole host of land on the Olympic Discovery Trail, like you said. I mean, there's so many things that I believe we can take off the taboo list of maybe previous challenge and, you know, in history, and maybe press a little bit of a restart and say, hey, some of these issues are very well connected together. So not only is working together better to get to solutions and actually serving the community better, but actually let's get creative and kind of systems thinking about it and say there's a lot of commonality between some of these issues that seem to be siloed right now. So I know that I can say for a fact that, you know, Kevin Street, Aaron Berg, Philip Morley, and I have committed to putting some of those formerly intractable issues on the table and saying, let's look at this differently and let's test out how we can connect up the dots better. And I'm not promising any immediate results on that, but I think we're going to be uncovering, you know, some formerly hidden opportunities to just work better together and deliver more efficient, more effective service to the community that we serve.
Well, I hope so, because, even though we are here in Port Townsend, many of our listeners are in the county. I live in the county myself. But even as a resident of Port Townsend, we're all residents of Jefferson County. And so we have to keep that in perspective. And I think the regional work together will enhance everything going forward.
We might even be, Aaron, I have to kind of air the fact that, you know, Aaron had the great idea of, why don't the four of us get together and have an hour on KPTZ someday? You know, and I would offer this spot and say, great, let's have a, what does collaboration look like from the sort of administrator level, and have people call in and ask us questions, you know, and we might have different perspectives, but that could be quite fun.
You know, hey, we're open. Anytime you can make that happen, make it happen. We can do some, you know, we could even do a little arm wrestling match or something, just to spice things up. You know, I'm sure. Well, anyway, I'm an idea guy. We're at the end, John Morrow, of this week's Brewocracy. Now, I am sufficiently caffeinated. I started early this morning, but as usual, I want to thank you for taking the time out to answer questions and just to be on air.
It's always a pleasure, Tim. You are a sunbeam to my day, and I really appreciate the listening audience of KPTZ and the station itself for all you do. So look forward to next week.
All right. Brewocracy now every week, about 10 minutes after 12 on KPTZ. And right now we will go straight to, let me look at my thing, Everybody Can with Missy Nielsen. What's this wonderful volunteer here at KPTZ? Thank you, John.